Good evening, Los Angeles. Welcome,
welcome
to the Talking Show on K Chung Radio, Chinatown's only micro broadcasting radio station. I'm Nicholas Miller, as always, here with Steve Cato.
Hey,
why don't you say hi, Steve Cato?
Hello, I'm Steve Cato.
Hi. And we want to welcome everyone to a new season of the Talking Show.
Brand. That's right.
Spanking new. Isn't that right?
That's right. Totally new. Fresh. Never before heard episodes of The Talking Show here on K Chung Radio.
Yep. All those other episodes you've learned to love, those episodes are old. These ones are new.
These are new episodes.
New.
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 New. I just thought of something, actually. You know how apparently, I haven't watched it yet, but apparently this week's episode of Game of Thrones is really intense. And I've just been thinking about how I'm going to watch it later. And I've been thinking about it, but what I've mostly been doing is while I'm riding my bike around, I'm just like singing the theme song in my head. Or like maybe a little bit out loud because no one can really hear what you're doing when you're riding a bike. It's all car traffic. Yeah, right, like pretty much. The entire time that I've been, you know, biking around, biking over here, biking over there. I don't know. New episodes, folks. These are brand new episodes of The Talking Show. There are also new episodes of Game of Thrones on every Sunday night or Monday if you torrent them. But you know what I'm saying.
That's right. And this season, there's going to be a slight change. Well, not even a slight change. A big change from last season. Those of you dedicated listeners probably noticed a certain quality to the voices we had last season. Well, this season, many of those voices are going to drop a register. Yeah, it's a strange thing, I know, but the voices are going to be a little lower in some instances. Isn't that right, Steve?
I think you're making too big a deal about this, Nicholas. I think you should just calm down. Okay?
Yep. And this is all because this season we are reintroducing men into the Talking Show.
Ugh.
We tried to keep them at bay. Oh, but those men, they have siege tactics that make Game of Thrones look like child's play. Isn't that right? Yeah. I know, Steve. Those men, they can be brutal. They're a terribly aggressive bunch. Really makes me appreciate the last season we had. All these men. But they're not all bad. We're going to try and stay away from the bad ones, including this first episode. So as usual, we're going to start the Talking Show season off with a bang. All the way from Iowa, poet, filmmaker, Nick Twemlow.
The 24 complications. The life of the party slits its wrists. Its wrists slit their wrists. The wrist of the world wears a Patek Philippe Henry Graves super complication, which is not a wristwatch, but a pocket watch. Among its 24 complications is one for the hour in which you hang yourself by your wedding tie, and another that counts the number of people whose livers can no longer self-repair and have begun to eat themselves. The man who commissioned the piece may or may not have lived forever. He may or may not have been part owner of an explosives company that may or may not go by the name of Blackwater. You may or may not believe this, but when I was a boy, all I wanted was to push a big red button. Imagine a million crosshairs congregating on the last illegal alien on Earth who resembles the shape you clock time in front of the bathroom mirror reimagining, or the clock tower you climb as Charles Whitman did in Austin, Texas. It was not a clock tower, lugging a duffel of guns and a hatred of the kind of muffled conversations he always walked into the rooms of the house he grew up in to hear. Meanwhile, Blackwater backpedals. Blackwater occupies the clock tower, killing time in the peculiar way time and money prepare you for. The thesis statement is that privatizing the military privatizes the boredom of observing an alien people who busy themselves with the rituals of the free market. Learn from the example of the markets in Jerusalem. The seventh complication is a koan wrapped in an enigma. What are you doing? We're innovating. How? We haven't ideated that yet. Eight resembles the head of an amberfish, the body ripped away by a motherless shark. Nine accrues interest in the leper colonies of the imagination, which may or may not exist lyrically. 10 through 17 take a few bongers while watching The Wire on DVD. 18 is your father's will, which faded as the years passed while burning a hole in his afterlife as the lawyers recited its damages to your family 10 days after he poked a hole in the sky with his third eye, which technically is the 18th complication. 19 is the dream in which you marveled at a child's Art Deco sandcastle while the lion paced a few feet away. 20 was last century. 21 occupies the analytic couch your father fashioned out of chocolate-glazed donuts. The next two slob the knob of the infinite 40-ounce streaming in daiquiri, screaming to the open field in a Whitmanic mania. 24th complication of the Patek Philippe Henry Graves supercomplication is the server space of your next 10 years, where dust compiles and Blackwater offloads the epic we all had hoped one of us would write. I love karate. I love karate so much I sweat karate steak dinners. I love karate so much I eat karate cereal in the morning, karate sandwiches for lunch, and karate haiku for pleasure. But like a good karateka, that's the technical term for highly skilled karate person, I don't eat karate dessert. You know why? Because dessert takes the edge off. You might ask, off what? But if you do, I'll perform a random karate move on you, as I did my mother when she tried to serve me non-karate cereal one morning. That was the morning when I realized that I was a true karateka. I refused the Empire cereal. If you are a true karateka, you are a rogue. Rogues don't like the Empire. This means that rogues spend a lot of time building dojos in the woods. A dojo is the technical name for a rogue who spends a lot of time building cabins in the woods. There are some karate moves that I can't show you. Those are secret karate moves. Like all karate moves, they are designed to kill. But these secret strikes kill faster and harder. They are to regular karate moves what hardcore is to softcore pornography. I was sensitive once, but karate got rid of that. Now I am tough on the inside as well as the outside. For example, if I was in the Oval Office partying with the president, smoking some grass, which I'd fake doing because karatekas don't smoke grass, I'd ask him to repeat what he said about kicking evil's ass, and then I'd ask him to show me how he'd do it. Since I know the president isn't a karateka, I'd administer a very secret strike on him at the moment he showed me how he'd do it. That's pretty much how I'd do things. I want karate to be in the Olympics in Beijing because I want to be on the team and travel to Beijing and win a gold medal. Or at least that's what I trick everyone into thinking I was doing. Part of being a good karateka means bolstering the Chinese economy. Sort of like ninjas, except a karateka can beat a ninja 14 out of 10 times. So while people would think I wanted to go to Beijing to win a gold medal and hang out in the Olympic Village and have a really good time with all the other athletes and media and officials and tourists, I'd really have a secret agenda. Secret agendas are pretty common for most karatekas. Secret agendas ensure that no matter what you say, you really don't mean it. So when everyone else was having a good time at the Olympics in Beijing, seeing how communism is really good on the citizens of China because the government rounded up the year before tens of thousands of homeless people and relocated them to work details in provincial labor camps, I'd slip out at night and administer random karate moves on officials of the empire. This happened a lot in Atlanta, too, when we held the Olympics. The part about the homeless, I mean. Okay, hi. thank you, everyone. Kathleen, thank you, and Jan, Prairie Lights. This place has been a part of my brain for a long, long time. It's great to be up here. And thanks to Joel, my label mate, on this great press, Caroline and Devin, run this out of Chicago. I'm really happy to be a part of it. And thank you guys for being here, of course. You have all these tabs, and I realized that I don't know what they refer to, so they're not really ordered. Topeka, Topeka. This is my, I guess my love, my elegy, really, for my hometown. Another Topekan in the audience, too. My oldest friend is here. It's quite a treat, Brian. So this is for you tonight, Brian. Topeka, Topeka. Topeka, half the moon is rotten with shadows pooling in the sea of Topeka. Topeka, where first I wet my brain with a 40-ounce bottle of Topeka. Topeka is place name, is damn shame, is a mirror made of sand and Topeka. Topeka, you are substandard, I am not. Yet I'm the one on my hands and knees, searching for the lost keys in the prairie grass, ripped on acid, loving the fallacy that the black keys equal melancholy, the black keys being Topeka. Topeka, miscast capital, you're no more political than a handshake with your dream self upon waking. In my case, dream self lives and dies in Topeka. Topeka, the sickness cannot be cured of Topeka. Topeka, tigers laze about the yards. A man with a box balanced on his head, his possessions stuffed to brimming, trots down Topeka Avenue. Topeka, the sickness will go unnoticed. The vaccine is composed of rare sentiments, the kind that love and hate with equal abandon. Love and hate, love and hate, love and hate. Topeka. Topeka, there was a night when the moon didn't appear, but it appeared everywhere else in the world. What happened that night, Topeka? Topeka, I fear for your life. The intersection of 29th and California is a portal to hell. I died there 20 times in my youth. Today, driving through, I toss a bouquet of roses to mark my third death, the one that had a soundtrack I can't shake free. My sister sings it from the shower every morning. Forecast calls for occasional showers with the possibility of late morning sleep in Topeka. Topeka, cast off the reliquaries. Call your men to war. Me? I'll be tugging one last hit from the bong I fashioned out of the shrapnel of Topeka. Topeka population rarely exceeds one, as in each trip home happens in rewind, stepping back across the creek, bird in hand throwing up the worm, further back unbreaking its wing, bird flying off as if resurrected, but from among the living, there I am, 8 years old, 7, 6, now a slug of semen sucked back into my father, now as the waters roll back across the plains toward the river, a dog coughs up water, lifts its head, sees nothing, puts its head back down, this Topeka is your history. Although it never happened. So I'll read a few poems from the... There's a sequence in the book of short prose poems called Palm Trees. Just have a... They're all called Palm Trees. Number attached to each one, I suppose. This is the first one. Palm Trees. Referring to microscopic things which I cannot see and therefore cannot describe. Ganglia, Angola, Golan Heights, chromosomes, someone's at the door. Referring to the window through which I observe our neighbors. They have collected their deck furniture and put it inside for the last time before they leave for Mexico. Rather be anywhere than here, sitting at my desk, converting files. Everything here is an establishing shot, and once something has been established, what happens next? Palm Trees 2. LAX, for example, then Sepulveda Boulevard, papering palm tree cutouts over holes in the sky, riding shotgun in my friend Shitty Celica, having driven past the Death Star, local parlance for the new CAA building, a building designed to convey contempt. Palm trees wink past, were not even moving, and they appear as one long blur, prompting me to signal to my friend to pull over. Emotion sickness linked to Nostos, which as an idea doesn't travel all that well, buried as it is in the various nostalgias tricked out on billboards every 50 feet. Take a risk, one says. A lesson in aesthetics, the sky is, painterly in its way, bad art. But the palms, how they terrify me. Beginning to think the world radiates from this car, and that man asleep on the bench, warming the sidewalk with a pool of urine, beard crushed into the neck of his army jacket, His cracked toes sticking out of the cardboard he has carefully crafted into boots. This man so looks the part, I am certain he is only openly auditioning. One never knows when somebody who matters might get stuck in traffic right here, as we are, somebody who needs a few authentic extras for background dressing on some movie set. It's easy to say the homeless aren't a problem in this town. They aren't. They have yet to be discovered. Palm Trees 4. The war is happy to be alive. Today's report calls for drear as far as the mind can see. In debt to the shadow creeping over my lung, I will compose a letter to my creditors wherein I will confess to everything. But for now, more ramen. For now, I'll pretend you think I'm still going to enlist. I want to shoot the enemy. I want to protect your right to peel potatoes in the buff. I want to be happy to be alive. 5. With a hat tip to Gwendolyn Brooks. My last defense is the present tense. The polis polish the dew on the grassy knoll as the lone gunmen sink their watches. I did the kudzu poem, the one about God, about Paris, my mother's tremors. When my sister shot the Pope, I was there, writing a poem. My first drive-in movie, backseat stuff really wild, makes you blush. I am a light box, a cascade of light. So I wrote all these poems. I cashed checks, stared at tellers as they stared into specific oblivions, came up wanting, where is there more? In the box you come from, the box under the bed. No more starlings, no more pregnant loaves of bread, no more, no more. Yes, I incandesce. Starlings spill out from the windows. Refreshing beer in hand makes me happier than all the leaves are. This is Wellington, friend. Drive, she said, just keep your wheel in the religion. You'll spin a bit, and then it goes crunch. They all grind their children into a fine millennial dust. 6. Feel like I'm an early Leonard Cohen, Tom Waits, this throat. I don't know what it is. It's probably neuroses building. I'm going to have like a, I'll be like Farinelli after this reading. 15. I woke up to the sound of the TV chewing through the ceiling. I woke up to the sound of the TV chewing through the ceiling. Woke up to my heartbeat gnawing its ration of speed. Woke up at the bottom of Lake Michigan clutching my manuscript. Woke up wingless, scattered to the asps. Woke up the neighbors with a double pump action putting their dog down. Woke up in a clausal phrase you'd edit out and handing you a red pen. You redlined my married sister. Just dropped by for a quick hello after work. I should have knocked, putting a roll of our toilet paper in her purse. 16. In this world, the unrated world, we get to do whatever we want. The unicorn spearing, the city in its gut, the fashion of home movies, boy sets out for bigger and brighter, eyes gleaming a life living in the hazardous fray of jump cuts. Pool's edge, a salt lick of coke, the zoo where silverback apes grieve the dead. One sniffs the stiff body laid in wake, its nose strolls every inch, as if down a boulevard clear-cut through the jungle, searching for something recognizable. Another surveys the body, rests its head on an outstretched arm. The zookeeper told reporters she cried herself into a headache. People are eating each other in the north. But in the south, comrade, a little girl stokes a campfire as the shadows multiply, as a stick breaks underfoot, and underfoot is the first break of dawn. He frolics in the taxi's orgiastic swell. He rays, he summons, he clicks, and after a while, he uploads everything. Cameron was a friend of his, as was Sophia. They smoked the Paris blunt. Everything fell away, turned corpse blue. Bowler on the green lawn, die for him. Violent sea of awe, remain in awe. He pilots the narcotic classroom squared into airplanes. He screams, he complies. Such majesty, such grace. He unhinges all the doors. Beverly vivisects Chauncey. The ash heap rolled into the Dubai blunt. Street lamps froth. He concurs after all this downtime, whistling after the dogs. He whites the blacks. He browns the yellows. Acid rain beads on his bed's soft tongue. The girl paddling a surfboard to intervene in the whale's demise is harpooned. He rolls her into the Atlantic blunt, passes her around Cape Cod, comforting his lungs with an intravenous drip of pure snow. He has his sublime imported from China's vagina. He crashes. Cameron, the figment, Sophia, the Coppola. Paris was a joke, a riot. He grids down. White caps flatten. Polar caps what? They melt? That was yesterday. Today he joins the mutants to pluck the sinewy remains. He prepares to discover fire. The lassitude and longitude of the Topeka blunt. Numbers flash everywhere. Chauncey flash freezes Beverly. He goes viral. He hacks the yellow blood. He opens a book, declares it a tree. Boarding the L, he forgets he cannot stare like this. They will think he's onto something. He baptizes every one of them on the third rail. This close to the sun. This fucking close. The pine, excuse me, the Pines, which was a place in high school. If a party wasn't going on or there wasn't something else happening, he would go to the Pines. Excuse me, the Pines. It was just some pine tree or, you know, pine trees and stuff in the middle of town. It always got broken up, usually by the time you got there, by the police. And this poem has nothing to do with it. But I like sometimes thinking about the Pines quite a bit. The Pines. Memory of Coy splashes this afternoon, a wash of gray, a garish gray, swells. That boy will cut his finger on not just the edge of this afternoon, but forever thinking tied into a cot now, the lonely gray elephant with its otherworldly horns. There are a number of poems in here about office life, which is, you know, it's a real thing out there. I spent a lot of time in an office, probably about to go back into an office. There used to be more of these office things, but anyway, so I'm going to read a couple of these things. I wrote a lot on company time when I was working at various jobs. I found it was at best a minor transgression, but it got me through the day often. So this is called The Sleep. The sleep touches everyone. The sleep is pinned to the junipers, racking their collective sunshine for the answer. If only, one said, we could sleep inside the machine's breath, we'd dream of the other orchard, the one that sleeps in cunning, colors in the leafy margins, a cobalt blue sampled from the leaf's imaginings of sky as blue, blue as death. All the sand, too, the cormorant as natural, engine, subject line, medicated correspondence, bottling its essence in tinctures, tinctures favoring feverish, describing the immigrant labor napping beneath us. Too tired to dream the way the rich dream. Flies collect on the crust of the sandwich flopping from one's hand. So restful, the hand, the fly. The dream inspired by gears turning over, levers and levels, all the abstraction drawn into focus. A worker proud of nothing, the interior homelessness circumscribing itself around two or three of her best dreams. An accord with linoleum floor, an accord with recurring nightmare, an accord with husband and wife sharing a towel, blessed towel. We'll see. There's a lot of, you know, drug references and addiction references and things in this. I mean, it's not like Burroughs, but there's a lot of stuff like that in there, and it's primarily it's a lot to do with my brother and the sort of immersion into this world of being my brother's 12 years older than me, and some of my earliest memories are of him hitting his bong at 3 a.m. when he got off his hospital shift. So these things just kind of like soak into your blood. They become part of who you are. And anyway, so this is a poem from my brother, and then I'll read one after that. It's called Breakfast. Here is your bacon. Listen to the moths collect when the light in your head flickers on, how they sizzle in the pan. Miniature prototypes of mechanical flight. The roach underfoot won't feel a thing. The view from the window of the beach leached of its tide, spinning tildes of seagulls, a car door disarticulated, Outside the trailer, just another tornado chucking around town, biding time in this palm while I scrape through decades of resin paneling the inside of my skull. Today is the 10th anniversary of your second death, or the 5th anniversary of your 6th trip to the room so quiet you could hear the odd phrase of puke 8 doors down, and you'd recognize it as another cliched response to sobriety. But a sobering sobriety, and the nurse so full of charming sobriquets for each minute of this dry run towards a place you will never recognize. DTs, shakes, she's even named the pills after her favorite Disney characters. Ariel swims through your eyes. Pocahontas bleaches your last good memories of tenure. Time to scramble some eggs. The moon's double life as a lamp and a symbol, and as lamp and symbol. The sea is a genius of suffering, and the sky, as the sky is an epidemic of small-scale proportions, though the leaves rustle with the vulgar mouthed vulgarities, such as a hypodermic slides into your outstretched arm. You feel the pain contract, shunt through the brain like a piece of cooling lava. I feel your pain killers as they communicate the wetness of pain. It's wet silence. So this last poem connects back to an earlier poem, but it's I think it was the last thing I wrote. This book is a long time in coming. Anyway, it's for my son. at some point, but I definitely thought about Sasha. Anyway, thanks everyone. It's been a real pleasure to be here. I hate karate. I see you seeing me. I wonder, wonder, wonder what will become of you. I hate that I hate, but alas, I still hate. I seethe. Karate can go fuck itself, can kill itself, can fight itself to the death. That's what karate does. It's all about the ratings. I hate ratings. I hate ratings so much I develop my own reality show. In this show, you, viewer, are asked to watch me hate. I'll hate anything, but I'll hate karate first and foremost. I hate karate when I'm strung out and panhandling on the corner where I grew up and happy to accept a farthing. I hate karate when my credit card is declined and I've got formula and diapers and wipes and a baby that hasn't stopped crying since I was born. I am a master of the hate. I'll hate anything you present to me. Present to me. Robert Creeley? Hate him. My cancer-stricken mother? Hate her. Your photos of your child and the delicate balance? I think we've gone over. Well, I tried to be on time, a minute over. Your photos of your child and the delicate balance you maintain between love and work. Dress me up in a suit made of hate stitched together by 10-year-old Indonesian children. Then watch me hate them, their piety and their sleepless nights, their fingers worked to the bone. I hate Steve Jobs. He hate me? Then there's enough hate in this world to keep it spinning. Like a dreidel made of razor blades. I'll give one to my son on the first day of Hanukkah and tell him that when he sees blood, it's just the color of all those who have hated you since you first walked the earth. You, destined to wander and negotiate, grovel, plead in every other mode of humiliation that can be imagined. Because, my son, you have been hated on since your God asked Abraham to make the ultimate sacrifice. This Christmas season, when I sit you on Santa's fat and happy lap, give him this dreidel. Better, shove it in his mouth and tell him to bite down hard. When he bleeds his hate, tell him you were sent to purify his soul, his pitiless black soul filled with lumps of coal, themselves the very essence of hate. Don't hate the hater, my son. The hand that spins the dreidel comes from above. The hand that spins the dreidel comes from above. It is the hand of hate. It is your salvation.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Indeed. Wow. Fantastic.
You can say that again, Steve.
Fantastic. Again.
You know, I know some people who think that Nick is a little harsh.
No way.
Just a tad harsh.
Wimps.
You know, like when you're eating your Kellogg's in the morning and there's some hard ones at the bottom, and when you bite into them, it kind of hurts.
It's all you deserve.
I think some people feel that way about Nick Twimlow. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to state my wager. And my wager is that our good friend Immanuel Kant would have liked Nick Twemlow.
Let's be honest, folks. Any other shows you listen to on K-Chung Radio, none of those hosts, none of those people are friends with Kant.
I'm going to say there may or may not be a social duty there in Mr. Twemlow's poetry, and that's the duty to hate.
Hmm. Yeah.
Hating is tough. Yeah. I mean, can you believe that over the vast expanse of K-Chung Radio, Nick Twemlow just said he hates Robert Creeley? How does a poet say that out loud? How?
I don't even know how a poet would start even being a poet, really. It's a mystery to me.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. Well, you know, I get just intimations. What I've been able to sense is that the contemporary poetry world is even more screwed up than the contemporary music world. And it seems like for the reflective, critical artist, there's a lot to hate there.
I don't even know very much about contemporary poetry, to be honest. Not enough to certainly get into some hate. I mean, I trust that, you know, people involved, many of our guests on the talking show are poets, and I assume that they know exactly of what they speak, but I myself, I have almost no clue. Despite my worldly and cosmopolitan appearance and, you know, my broad range of knowledge about most subjects, contemporary poetry is actually something about which I know relatively little. Unfortunately, I mean, you know, I know an awful lot about all kinds of stuff, new music, living composers, contemporary art, obviously. You know, these are the kind of things that I know one or two things about. So, hey, poetry.
Yeah. Good thing I love visual art.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, no problems there. Everything's just tickety-boo.
Okay, well, thanks, Nick. Thanks for coming and teaching us a little bit about hatred. Have a safe trip back to Iowa. Hope to see you soon. Good night, everyone. This is The Talking Show, signing off.
Good night.